This episode is brought to you by California Psychics. As a listener of the Dr. Drew podcast, enjoy connecting with a spiritual counselor for only a dollar a minute. Call 1-800-374-7354 to find out more. Tomorrow starts today with California Psychics.
Hey, this is Dr. Drew, and I just want to thank you for joining the Dr. Drew podcast and supporting the Corolla Pirate Ship here at the Corolla Network. And please, just a reminder, tell a friend about these podcasts. That is how this thing grows organically, and that is how we want this to grow. We want it to be a community of people that connect, and we talk about interesting things. And by the way, feel free to give us feedback and stuff, particularly for my show, that you'd like to hear. We'll be happy to set it up on the program. And again, tell a friend and keep this pirate ship afloat.
This is Corolla Digital.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Dr. Drew Podcast. And before I introduce my guest, Samantha Shocker, I've got a little business to take care of. As I've pointed out many times, we are all chattel here for Mr. Corolla, and so we have to be sure to remind you to please click through at the Amazon link at drdrew.com. Also, you can pick up these swinging sounds at iTunes if you like them.
Yeah, so I'm
Sam
digging
likes
it.
Them. Sam likes them. Mm-hmm. We've got a whole CD of these things I picked out carefully. They're very cool.
Yeah.
We have a sponsor from the Corolla Network to ring in here in just a second. Matt, the Porcelain Punisher, I believe, has something for us.
Hey, thanks, Drew. Over the last few weeks, I've been telling your listeners to try out California Psychics, just like I did. And, you know, originally I called them to talk about my career. I also had some pretty big questions about my love life. Without getting too specific, I've been dating somebody for about a year. It's been going great. But, you know, I think everybody has this experience of, you know, looking at your past, your future, trying to figure out if you're on the right path. And one of the more comforting aspects of my call was understanding how my current relationship is moving me forward to a higher level. It was really, really cool. And as somebody who's very skeptical, it was really interesting to speak with somebody who could sort of qualify different things that have happened in my relationships and also the personality types of some of the women that I've dated. So it's a pretty exciting time. And I have to say that the call I had has already added a new dimension to my current relationship. So I've said it a few times, but California Psychics provides unbiased, non-judgmental advice. They're available 24/7, and your listeners can try them out for only a dollar a minute. Their number is 1-800-374-7354. That's 1-800-374-7354. And you really have nothing to lose because their satisfaction guarantee is that if it's not the best psychic reading you've ever had, it's free. So I encourage all of you guys to check it out. One more time, California Psychics is at 1-800-374-7354. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Let's get on with our program now. It is time for me to introduce Samantha Shocker. SamanthaShocker.com is the website, S-C-H-A-C-H-E-R.
It's a tough one.
At Sam Shocker is the Twitter handle. And talk to me about the Young Turk Next Work. I can't spit it. I fuck it up every night on HLM when I try to do it. Young Turks Network needs to change their name to something else.
I agree. Believe
me. Just YTT would be fine. Or YTN.
Just TYT. Just keep it simple. Let's just say TYT. But the Young Turks Network, and it is a mouthful, to say the least. Basically, it's a really great progressive news online news site, and it's the largest online news site in the world.
Did it start from the Young Turks radio program?
It started with Jane Huger, and a lot of people know him from MSNBC, and he started it. He's a former attorney, and he was just really fed up with politics. He was fed up with money being in politics, and he felt like that there was no real...
Was he in the political world, or was he on...
Not really. He was in the political world as a fed up citizen.
So he's not fed up as a broadcaster or fed up as somebody in politics. He just fed up as a person.
As an everyday person. Absolutely. And that's why people resonate to him so much. And if you go on the show, I mean, there's over a billion views. There's almost 2 million subscribers all over the world. And people really love his perspective. Because
where did the Young Turks piece fit in?
To be rebellious, to rebel. Like if you were to just look up like what a Young Turk, like the initial meaning, it's to rebel.
Oh, I always thought had something to do with the radio guys.
No, he just he wanted to have a name that signifies how
he was
feeling.
Are those guys pissed?
There's always backlash. There's always somebody that gets pissed off. So I'm sure there's someone that is pissed. But I mean, it's a great. I'm so happy to be part of TYT. That's what we're going to call it, TYT. And
the Young Turks or what?
The Young Turks, okay. TYT. And my show on the Young Turks is I sometimes help out with some of the political news shows, but then I also host and produce their pop culture show, which is really fun. And with it being a Young Turk show, we have to not only talk about entertainment and pop culture, but we have to have some insightful, intelligent conversation about those topics, which a lot of people don't think they go hand in hand. And we do have fun, but we also try to look at those topics and present some smart discussion.
Is it every day?
It's every single day.
And how
every
would they
morning.
Find it now? What would they do?
Oh, you would go to TYT or theyoungturks.com, or actually you can go directly to our YouTube page, which is /poptrigger, POPTRIGGER. It's a fun show.
And by the way, when I have to say host a Pop Trigger on the Young Turks network,
and Samantha Shocker, like a lot of people couldn't even pronounce my last name growing up.
Yeah.
Or I got made fun of my last name because it's also a hand gesture.
Had it.
Dr. Drew doesn't even know what I'm talking about. That's
Drew
the
knows
greatest
what a shocker
part.
Is.
Oh, I guess I do know what a shocker is. Oh, my God.
So in high school, a lot of people would just throw up that hand sign as a way of saying hello to me. And I, you know what? Whatever. It's fine.
Well, you grew up in a ethnic school. Was it become like a gang sign?
I did go. I definitely was the minority at my school. My middle school was I'm sure I was like a handful of the white kids. It was Alianza. And at Alianza, one day was actually in Spanish. And the following day was in English. It was a great school. And then when I went to junior high and high school, actually, those two schools were a little bit more integrated. So it was fine, but I was still a minority.
And so when people would flash a sign at you, would they think you?
Maybe I wanted it to be a gang sign because at that time I kind of wished I was a Cholita. I did. And here I am. If you see a picture of me, I mean, these people can't, but I'm blonde hair, green eyes. And a lot of people would.
What is your ethnicity?
Swedish, German.
Yeah, it's like Norwegian or something.
But when you go to school and you see like all the popular girls or like the cholas and they're, you know, you kind of want to be one too. So I always felt a little left out. And I still think it affects my identity today.
and then did your parents know that was all going on at the time?
You know what? My parents were just awesome. They were supportive. I'm sure I was also very involved with swimming, so I think my parents were more geared towards just as long as she's in the pool.
Would they have to get you up at 5 in the morning? Were they the ones driving there 5 in the morning?
My poor parents, up until I was 16 years old.
Was it mostly mom?
Yeah.
It tends to be mostly mom. It tends to be,
99% mom, 1% pops. And I mean, they would, 4:45, and, you know, they would have to take me to swim practice. Sucked. I do not miss those days at all.
We have friends. Their son was in the Stanford swim team.
Yeah.
And Samantha was at the UCLA swim team.
Right.
And she would describe going to the Rose Bowl Aqua Center
I'm familiar with the Rose Bowl Aquatic Center. I've swam there many times, different meets when I was growing up. But yeah, it's not fun. I still, to this day, don't like to hang out in the pool.
Did you want to go to UCLA, or is that just where it sort of they got you?
Yeah, well, I took a number of different recruiting trips. Stanford was one of them, too close to home. I went to Stanford. I went to USC, UCLA. And UT, because UT was the number one swim program at that time.
University of Texas.
Yeah. And so I visited you can visit 5 schools. I visited those schools.
What do you mean you can visit 5 schools? Is this the
legally,
NCAA thing? Okay.
Yeah, to take an actual paid recruiting trip.
I see.
You have to limit it to 5 of those schools, at least when I was doing that. And I loved UCLA, and I ended up going to UCLA. And so I'm happy I went there. I've stayed here ever since. And I'd always wanted to get into the entertainment industry, so It was a great school for me to be at.
And so how did you get to the Young Turks?
I got to the Young Turks, right after I graduated from UCLA. I ended up working at Judge Judy. And I started as a PA at Judge Judy, and I worked my way up to a producer there. And I loved all of that. But then again, in school.
So you would produce. So people don't necessarily know what that means. So you're a segment producer.
Yeah. Yes. So
they're probably not organized like segments because.
They're not.
You would
litigants.
You would organize. Would you organize both people or just one side?
For one particular case, you are organizing both sides.
So the defendant and these people.
Small claims court.
You just stroll around?
Well, you do get people that contact the the show. But all the great cases you get from the small claims courts, and you just go through them all. And of course, you want to find something where it's boyfriend girlfriend. There's passion, sister sister. So people that know each other, because then you know that no matter what, there's going to be some sort of angst and resentment, and hence a good show.
Did you ever produce any other daytime? Because it seems like you would be a good daytime producer.
No, I did not. After Judge Judy, I'd missed being in front of the camera, because in college I was doing some on camera stuff, and I studied theater. And so then
was that your major, theater?
It was a minor. I majored in sociology, and with a specialization of sociology of deviance. I loved I loved looking into like a bird's eye view in different cultures and what made them tick, but also why some cultures are seen as deviant as opposed to others. So that was
Some cultures are seen as deviant,
like,
or how
like
cultures view deviancy?
Yeah, exactly. Like little subcultures. Like for instance, when you're within the prison culture, if you're in prison, certain things of that type of behavior is not deviant. But us looking in, it's very deviant. And then even here, if what I'm wearing right now, if I were to walk the streets in Dubai, would be seen as very deviant. So I just thought that was always interesting.
Your head chopped off.
I hope not.
Right? They take a huge.
Would it be that drastic if I walked around? I'm wearing a wife beater right now.
You'd be jailed, I think. Right?
I may be in jail. Yeah. I may be in jail right now, which would help my street cred. So that's okay.
That's me a Cholita.
But I don't know. So then after Judge Judy, I started doing hosting, and I ended up landing a really cool show with MTV, and it was called Livin' Loud, and it was only in Australia. And then that kind of spun into a car racing show with the Versus Network, and then that led to the Young Turks. And then after I started working with the Young Turks and all their political shows, they had asked me to come host and produce their pop culture show. Mm. So.
And what's happening today? What's on your menu?
Today,
what kinds of stuff? Let's just generally.
Today, believe it or not, Wicked Candles is a company that I own with my husband, is right down the street from here. So I was packing orders all day long. And then after this, I'll go back to Wicked, and then Dr. Drew HLN at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern.
That's right. Sam's co-hosting this week.
Yes, I am.
And
so much fun.
If I've never said this, thank you for helping us doing such a great job.
Oh, wow. I'm honored. You have no idea. First of all, it's such an honor to be on that show because of you and Bert, the executive producer. And it's so nice to work with people that genuinely respect and love each other, if that makes sense. I mean, not to say that that doesn't happen with a number of productions here in Los Angeles, but through my experience,
it can be heated.
It can be
hot. Yeah.
And it just sometimes you just don't feel
it doesn't
that
have to be that way.
Right. And you guys have such a family. That's the right word, exactly. It's a family environment where you feel like you trust and genuinely like the people you work with. And so I get excited to go to work every day. So thank you.
It doesn't have to be another way. That's my thing. It's like, why make it other than that?
Right. But that comes from you and Bert, because Bert and you share that same philosophy of just having a good time. You don't take yourself so seriously, but you take your work seriously, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does make sense.
Yeah.
And to describe Bert, he's my executive producer at HLN. And
I love Bert.
He's a sort of a television icon.
Absolutely.
Sort of producing icon. Because he created and initiated Jerry Springer and Sally Jesse and Tom Green. And he's done just so much stuff. He's any time there's been a talk show, he's been the guy behind the scenes.
And he's so – Right. And to give you just an example of what a compassionate guy Bert is, when he found out that I loved Sally Jesse Raphael, not only did he come to the studio the next day with the red – iconic Sally Jesse Raphael glasses that I got to wear for about 5 minutes, took some pictures with him, but then he also got Sally on the phone. And
I didn't know this.
Yes, and I was pacing.
And why do you like Sally so much?
Because I grew up with my mom watching her, so to me it's very nostalgic, and it's almost like a safety blanket when I talk about Sally Jesse Raphael,
like
because I have
cartoons or something.
I know you would think, but it was just she to me represents a large portion of mom time, and just she's great. I mean, she really is iconic when you think about Sally Jesse Raphael.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
she's so
People
and those red glasses.
Those were beginning of the daytime talk show.
And do you know what she told me on the telephone?
What
on the telephone? On the phone, she said to me, she said, I'm going to tell you two things, Samantha, because she knew that I was a host. She said, number one, never trust a guy in a suit. And I was like, that's interesting.
Wow.
And then she said, number two, she said, trust yourself. So I
trust
mean,
your instinct.
Yeah, trust your instinct.
That's a great note.
Do you.
Yeah. That's a great note. We had Jillian Barbary on last night, and that was what Bert's note was to her. She goes, just do Jillian.
She did. She was great last night. She was on fire, and she took the opposing. I feel like that she was almost
polemic.
Involved in a debate in every segment, and I loved that.
Yeah. Let me just, before we go on, talk about a quick sponsor, which is Carbonite. Remember when you had to listen to radio programs on their schedule? With podcasts now, you get to listen and download on your schedule. But what about your computer files at home or at work? You don't need to schedule that either now if you have Carbonite. Carbonite backs up your files to a cloud. I don't know about you, but I have to have stuff backed up. I freak out.
Oh,
about
me
it.
Too.
You know, if I don't have it, I'm like.
It lends to my anxiety. I don't need it.
Right, which we both have plenty of. But Carbonite does it automatically, as opposed to on a schedule base, does it automatically whenever you're connected to the internet.
Oh,
it's
I love
free.
That.
You can get it free at carbonite.com without any credit card. Use the offer code Drew, and you get it for free. And if you buy, you get 2 months free with the purchase. Carbonite.com, offer code Drew, D-R-E-W. So you grew up in Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
What'd your parents do?
Santa Cruz. My mom was a teacher, is still a teacher, actually. And yay, I'm making the producers come in here and take pictures of Drew and I.
Because is that you?
Yeah, that's me. That's okay. My phone. I gave it to them ahead of time.
I thought it was for the website or something.
No,
it's for your website.
It's for me to post on Twitter.
Okay, good.
And Instagram. But no, so my mom is a teacher, has always been a teacher.
What'd she teach?
And she taught fourth grade, still teaches fourth grade.
Wow.
And my dad is a realtor. So, yeah.
Are they still together?
They're still together. Married. They've been married 36 years.
And you have a bunch of sisters or something?
I have two sisters and a brother. And, yeah.
What do they think about what you're doing?
They're very proud. They're very supportive. But they keep things in perspective. At the end of the day, I'm going to work. They're going to work.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's great.
It's a job that you enjoy.
It's a job that I love. And that's the best part. Yeah.
Do you have a sense of going forward? What's where you're going or what you want to do? Or is it just opening doors wherever you can?
I'm one of those people, and I'm sure you're very similar, that has every goal written down. And I think that's.
No, that's not me.
Really? Maybe I should learn from you, because that's probably where my anxiety stems from.
I have zero blueprint. Zero.
I'm blueprint to the max, and it's too much for me to handle sometimes.
My thing is exploration. I'm willing to go explore and see if I can make something of something.
Okay.
And I end up getting into shitstorms that way, but it's like, oh, I'll try that.
That really makes sense, knowing that you initially were, your goal was to be a physician, and then everything stemmed from there.
Yeah, I was just.
Makes perfect sense.
Well, I was even for a couple decades, like, leave me alone.
Right.
This is fun. I like doing it, but just leave me alone. Let me practice medicine.
One of those where it finds you completely.
Well, I was thinking about this morning, and I was thinking, you know, geez, I've done radio since I was a third year medical student. This piece must have been very important to me all the way along.
Right.
Because I always enjoyed it. I always thought it was important. I remember I was having a conversation with myself about, oh, I know what it was. I'm starting to feel really weird about not practicing as much medicine as I used to. It's a weird loss.
As of recent?
Since Life Changers. I really had to admit to myself, okay, this is your second career.
Right.
Stop it. You can't go to the hospital every day. You can't do the addiction stuff. You can do your outpatients, and that's about it.
And you feel a void.
Feel a loss. Feel a sense of self going away. It was so deeply embedded in who I am.
Right.
And then I started thinking, well, I've always done the radio stuff since early in my career, so I guess that's always been a part of all this.
Right.
It's just now going to be the focus. So I have to figure out a way to do that professionally in a way that it feels like it's satisfying that need to.
That's interesting.
Be an expert. Be a professional.
Yes.
Because TV gets foggy.
Yeah.
It's a fog of war all the time.
Yeah. You don't feel the freedom as much. Like right now, I just feel very free.
Yes.
I feel very free right now. I think because you know that a camera's not on you, you don't have to be so aware.
Well, but this is the internet is our, we own this. You and I, belongs to us.
Love
we do whatever
that.
We want with it.
Right.
And I like the fact that it's direct to an audience.
Right.
And it's an audience that's seeking out the connection.
Right.
It's wonderful.
That's what I love about TYT is online, and the interaction with the fans is so important. You can't not be online and not have the interaction with them, and I love that because it's what drives me. It's new, and I love the digital world. I think it is taking over.
So tell me about your blueprint.
Oh my gosh, it gives me anxiety. I think about it way too much. I'd have to meditate about it to get it out of my. I have to get the inner noise out of me. But my blueprint is there's a number. There's so much, but basically, at the end of the day, I would love to host a show that. For instance, like Pop Trigger, like a show that is mine, yeah, on TV that I produce, that I'm in control of, and that I.
That's Rex.
Oh my God. Sorry, Dr. Rex. Drew's dog is snoring or upset.
No, he's just like, ugh, stop talking.
Yeah, he's annoyed. He's annoyed by the sound of my voice. It's okay. My cats meow when I talk too. So, but basically, I just want to host a show that I love, and I wake up every day and I can't wait to host it. I would love for it to be in the morning because I would love to get it out of the way and then be able to be a mom and focus on Wicked Candles as well. So I want.
When is kids? When
does that fit? Would say we would probably start trying maybe. I would say maybe in the next year. I think it's coming soon.
Does your husband agree with that?
Yes.
You choked on that a little bit.
Well, he wants 5 kids.
Whoa.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I would love to have 2 kids. 2 or 3 kids.
3 is fine. Three is... I grew up in a family of 4, and it didn't feel like as much of a unit as 5 feels like.
Okay.
5 really feels like a team. It's a unit, you know?
I'm not having 5 kids.
No, 3.
Three and two. Okay, good. Okay, good.
I don't know, more of a group. I don't know.
Okay, as opposed to a foursome.
4 still feels close to 3.
Right.
You know?
But I can't wait to be a mom. I think at the end of the day, that's going to be my highest achievement. I can't wait.
Well, now, we do this podcast all about women, and I didn't know what that podcast was going to be about. Mm-hmm. And we end up talking to all kinds of women, all areas, lots of professional women and whatnot with interesting ideas. And almost every woman I've interviewed comes to the same place. It's at podcast1.com if you want to download All About
Yes.
Women. They all come to the same – at some point in the interview, start complaining about – that they didn't do the mom thing. How's it going to happen? The guys all suck. They're entitled to a certain kind of guy, and they're not available. You know who I'm talking about. There's one attorney that we've had conversations.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
She came on the podcast.
And I feel for her.
But so funny. She was an early guest on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Every woman after that has expressed the same thing.
Really?
And the president of Barnard College, Deborah Spar, wrote a book about this.
Okay.
And so I got her in, too. That's not aired yet, has it? No.
Coming soon.
And so apparently it's a very common thing. So in a way, you're lucky that you're paying attention to this and your blueprint.
I'm so grateful. It's been on my blueprint since I was...
But you have to pay attention or you miss out on the getting married part because what our friend keeps complaining about is that the guys that are good are dating younger women.
Or they're completely off the market. They're married and they have kids.
In marriage at
right.
all.
Right.
And so it's a diff. And then if they find the right guy, now we're 35 and the fertility issues start to really kick in.
Right. Or they've already had kids and maybe they don't want to have kids again. You know, maybe it's a man that is divorced. And I actually think that's better at that point because something's wrong with a guy, in my opinion, if he's in his, you know, late 40s and he hasn't even been married yet.
You want to find a widower.
That's the ideal situation. And you
with
know
no
what?
Kids.
Right. Right. Because if he's already had kids, who's to say that he's going to want to have to do all that again? Right.
I'm here to tell you, as someone who's been through it, doing it again would be.
Right.
Unthinkable.
You've been there, done that, and it's
intense.
I can imagine.
Made it. Phew. Whew.
Now let's next chapter of
yes.
my life.
Ugh.
Right. So I feel very lucky and I'm very grateful that I feel like I'm at a point where I can manage my career and now start to have kids and I already am married, so I don't feel like I have to miss out. But I do have a number of friends that are very career driven and they feel like they've almost made that choice opposed to finding a guy and having kids. And now they're in their early 30s, some in their late 30s, and they feel as if they're freezing their eggs.
Yeah.
You know?
I think they ought to do more of that, frankly.
Yeah.
No, really.
I do too.
Women deserve – those women that do all that work deserve
right.
the freedom
yeah.
to try to figure this out.
Right.
Now, frozen eggs don't necessarily work.
Really?
The problem is the frozen embryos are better.
So do you have a choice to do a frozen embryo?
Yeah, but
it's more expensive.
You have to pick a guy. They have to know who you want to have that embryo with.
Oh gosh!
And maybe marry somebody else later.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Maybe a best friend situation, like a Will and Grace.
Okay, best friend. Nice.
Yeah.
But I do think that freezing the eggs, just in case, why not?
I think so too.
Why not?
You'll have regrets later. It's just for the peace of mind.
So, and your husband's all on board with the...
He's all on board, but he's looking for five kids. And he's so work career driven as well, which I love.
And his thing is the candle business.
He was a graphic designer. He was working for a lot of Chelsea Lately and Conan O'Brien and Roxy and Quiksilver. So he was doing a lot of different logos and brands and very busy graphic designer.
Did he come up with that?
Yes. With our logo, with all of our branding is him.
I was thinking of the Coco logo with the red hair, the Conan logo with just the red hair.
Oh, he didn't do their logo, but it's brilliant. It's I wish he did some of their, I think he took their logo and did all their branding for it.
Wow.
But yeah, he's very, very
How'd you guys meet?
Brilliant. At Saddle Ranch.
What?
Which is like probably the most, Saddle Ranch, to those of you that are not Los Angeles natives, is probably the douchiest bar on Sunset Boulevard.
Yes. That one
you
is the one where you come around the corner. It looks like
on Sunset.
It looks like a Disneyland.
There's a bowl.
Like Knott's Berry
Farm. A mechanical bowl. And
well, Gary's been there. Heftard's been there, apparently.
How dare you? Don't look at me.
It's hey, you know what? It's a fun time. And I worked there. So
did you get that? Did you hear what she just said?
I worked there. Okay. Why? Were you there? Did you see me?
No.
You recognize me?
I don't think so.
Did you meet him when you were working there?
A long time ago. Yes, I was working there. I think, was I still in college? And I needed to support myself. And I thought this would be a great little gig. Lo and behold, I made no money. I made like $40 a night. It was a joke. And you slave like 8 hours. And there's a lot of gross, douchey guys that go there and hit on you. It's disgusting. And the workers are like one big orgy, by the way. All the employees, it's just like one big sex pot. I could not handle it. So lo and behold, I was like, okay, I'm going to make my money and
run.
You
told everybody you had a boyfriend, you told me.
I did. I told everybody I had a boyfriend. I did not want to get an STD because I felt like they were definitely prevalent within that crowd. And so I long story short, one night my husband was chilling at the bar because his friend was the bartender. So I liked that. He was alone. He was doing his own thing, and he said, "What does your tattoo mean?" I have a really large cholo tattoo on my lower back.
Have you seen her tattoo, Gary?
Gary, Chris? I'll have to show it to you later.
You ever seen her cholo tattoo on her back?
No, I have not.
I thought they do.
It's in old English. It's large, and it says eternity, which was supposed to symbolize
like,
the length.
It's
huge. Yeah. And back when
Can we get Dr. Bruce in here and give her a little laser treatment? You want to take that off?
No, I love that
okay,
tattoo.
All right, okay.
But I would love to take this one off. I'm
here.
In the middle of...
Laser
on my on a different tattoo. But so he said to me, because there I was wearing like a shorter top at that time and it's part of the uniform, and as I walked by he said, "What's your tattoo mean?" I said, "It means I have a boyfriend," because I had my guard up, because so many, you know, it's a singles bar. So I said I have a boyfriend, and as soon as I turned around I realized that I felt something. It was instant chemistry.
And so
I right then knew that I had put
did
my
you go
foot
back.
I did.
Uh-oh.
I knew I put my foot in my mouth, and I was so disappointed that I blew that chance. And then I went back and I kind of just like stood next to him and started small talk. I'm sure I said something really stupid and idiotic. And he was puzzled because he thought, doesn't this girl have a boyfriend? I don't understand. And long story short, I ended up taking my break and we chatted and it saw each other every day for like 33 days
after that.
And it was really intense and
this
fast.
This when you were in college.
Yeah, this was, now we've been together 9 years since then.
And you were saying, you were saying in the makeup booth yesterday. You
were
talking about
this?
Oh
my gosh, I knew you were going to bring this up. That's okay, because I think a lot of women go through this. So I think it's important that we bring it up. So go for it.
No, you know what I'm talking about, so go ahead. You're in control of this, however you want to talk about it.
My. All right, so we were in the green room, or we were in the makeup room yesterday, and we were talking about just relationships in general, and somebody had asked me if I'm happy in my marriage, and I said, absolutely, and do you guys have any problems? Well, first of all, of course, every marriage has their problems. I think the trick is, I'm no expert, but after 9 years, I think after we have an argument, we just continue to look at the underlying issues and try to evolve from them.
I'll say there's a bigger meta thing that people lose that they don't pay attention to, which is you're committed to this thing. So you're going to work it through.
Yes.
And one of the things you do get to, and research has shown this too, is that you end up sort of avoiding conflict a little bit. Not to say that you avoid expressing your feelings, but it becomes like, yeah, I'd rather be happy than right. I'd rather this relationship work than be right, because we are just committed. This is not we're
right.
gonna stay.
You don't always have to be right.
Yeah, but we're gonna stay in this thing. So why do we have to be? Let's make it work. You know,
right?
And that takes years. Also.
I would love to actually I want to pick your brain if we have time about some of your tips within 22 years.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I love that.
1991.
Love that. Yeah. But one of the, so they were asking, you know, well, do you have any problems? I said, of course. And I said, well, you know, actually right now, 9 years in, I'm struggling with trying to keep the passion alive. And Dr. Drew looked at me like, uh-oh. But here's the thing. With women and men are programmed differently.
Yes.
They are. And in the beginning of our relationship for the first 3 years, listen, it's intense and every time is fantastic and it's exploratory and fun. And then you have to work harder at it and harder at it. And now come 9 years, I find myself being a little bit lazy about it and I don't want to be. So I'm aware of the situation and it's not coming from him. I'm taking responsibility.
Couple things.
Yes.
One thing that men do that they don't know women don't do is men like hone stuff right where they want it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they want it.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I know.
They like whether it's position or time of
right.
day or whatever, the lights, whatever it is, that is their hot fudge
yeah.
sundae. And they want the damn hot fudge sundae or why bother?
Right.
And women need much more
of
diversity.
Course.
And not of course. Men don't know that.
Well, I think, okay, well, actually, I think my situations, I would rather it be more intense and quick, if that makes sense.
Yeah, then you got to say that, whatever it is.
And I do. I think it's more so at the point where I need to almost, and I know this sounds bad, but again, it's been 9 years, and I'm a very busy woman. I need to schedule it into my
day. Yeah, you do.
Day.
Absolutely.
And I think that is where I lack because I'll come home, I work late, I'll start doing, I'll even pack.
If already maybe you're over asking too much of yourself, like if it's every day, maybe it ought to be
I would shoot for twice a week. That's what I shoot for, twice a week. And I think if I need to schedule it in my head, that's okay. And that's
absolutely.
Where I'm at right
now.
Wait,
you have kids. You're going to be like,
you have to schedule it, though.
You're like, oh shit, when are we going to find how, where? You know, it's
right.
like, it's more than scheduling.
But I talked to a number of my girlfriends, and we all have the same.
Stuff.
And they all say the same thing. Some of my girlfriends that have only been with their boyfriends for a few years or married for 15 years. And it's the same thing where they almost pacified and say, you know what? Yeah, it's been a couple months. That's bad. I know.
That's bad.
That's
pretty good if that's happening a couple years in.
Right. And here's the difference, though. I think women are actually
relieved.
Okay with that.
I know they're relieved by it.
But
it's a bad sign.
But women, we need to step up and say, okay, that's not okay. We need to schedule it in our heads 2 times a week because if our man goes without it for a couple months,
that's going somewhere.
Yes.
that's like traveling, whatever.
But this is how we are. Women are from Venus and men are from Mars because we are programmed differently.
Yeah. Oh, like it's why when you put two women together, lesbians, you can get lesbian bed death.
What is this?
They just stop having sex.
Oh, wow.
And now, not all lesbian couples do that, but that's a common sort of little.
And I'm sure gay men have like great sex for the rest of their life.
No, gay men not only keep having extra relationship affairs and stuff
right.
too. Two guys are like it's all
right.
over the place.
Yeah, testosterone.
So it's,
man,
you know how you know all you need to know is how women or men are wired differently. Look at when you have same sex couples, how it works.
That's right.
That tells you.
Yeah.
But,
so I'm learning this now.
But it's important to keep it going. I will tell you something my wife taught me, which was very interesting. We're going to take a break in a second, and we'll talk more about this. But I did not realize this at all. When it comes time to having sex in order to make love to have children,
mm-hmm.
that will have different meaning to you and may get you more
really?
Invested.
Really? I immediately can see that.
Okay.
Yeah.
As a man, it's like, what? Isn't that what we're trying to avoid all the time?
Right.
It's like,
so
we can
romantic.
Have sex. We avoid that. Well, it has all kinds of stuff for women in it that will trigger you in different ways.
I already get it.
Yeah. So that's maybe where you find the next sort of arc in this.
Yeah.
But it's only an arc, you know, because it's
right.
Because then the kids come, and then that interferes with everything, and then the hormones that follow. The next piece is paying attention to your biology. Women don't. They busily take inventories, emotional inventories, interpersonal inventories, and don't realize, oh, no, for the first year after you have a kid, you're going to be shut down.
Wow.
Particularly if you breastfeed. And later on, and you can have premenopause in your 30s. That can affect your libido and things.
What do you do about that?
I can tell you. We got to get Jennifer Park in here. She's a gynecologist that specializes in this area.
That's so important.
Absolutely, we got to get her in here. I didn't think about that. And yeah, it's vital because otherwise the man just becomes a nuisance and it just is a mess.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of relationships shut down.
Yikes.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, we'll take a quick break. But before we do, I want to mention our friends at GoToMeeting. Meeting is believing, guys. If you are attempting to build a relationship with your team, it's key for any business, and you need to meet and collaborate with coworkers and clients on a regular basis, as we do here at the Corolla Empire. We use GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It's a powerfully simple way to meet online from anywhere, anytime. With GoToMeeting by Citrix, you can share the screens. You can also share your documents. You can throw actual documents up there and work on one of those documents.
I like
it. Cool, I know.
Multitask.
While you're having these HD meetings, yes, where you're each all up there at the screen all the time. Launch or join a meeting from anywhere using your computer, mobile phone, tablet. It's easy, even your iPad. Obviously, we love GoToMeeting here. Start hosting a meeting in seconds from your computer or mobile device by signing up for a free 30-day trial. No credit card required. You just sign up and get it free. Or you can visit the you can get the free trial by visiting GoToMeeting.com and click the Try It Free button and using the promo code DRDREW, Dr. Drew. That is GoToMeeting.com, promo code Dr. Drew. Meeting is believing. Take a quick break. I'm back with more Samantha Shocker.
Meet Charlie, just one of the over 2 million people who've called California Psychics.
The reading happened over the phone, but it was like she was right there in front of me. It was like that I was talking to an old friend.
At California Psychics, our psychics have real gifts and communicate clearly. In fact, only 2 out of 100 psychics who apply are selected. Call 800-PREDICT, 800-PREDICT, or visit californiapsychics.com.
She brought up things that I did not mention, but she somehow knew them.
And we promise that if your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever had, it's free.
What I got was very specific, clear information that I could use and apply to my life.
Secure and confidential, California Psychics is a psychic service more people trust. Call 800-PREDICT, 800-PREDICT, or visit californiapsychics.com.
This one call absolutely changed my life.
Call California Psychics now at 800-PREDICT. And if your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever had, it's free.
Hi, folks. I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And this week, on This Week with Larry Miller, I tell you 2 secrets I've had that I've never told before. Here they are. Love daylight savings time, hate Halloween. Listen for free through iTunes or the free Adam Carolla app, and I'll tell you why. We'll see you here.
Back with the Dr. Podcast. Sam, this is more of those groovy tunes. You like these?
I know. I'm feeling it.
Do we have those CDs around here? Or do you have to send it? We have to get them from Amazon ourselves.
We don't have any lying around.
We have to get
I feel like I should be drinking a martini right now.
Yeah, we're going to have sort of cocktail hour.
Maybe some mangria.
Oh, well, did you taste that yet?
I did. It's actually delicious. And what was scary is the alcohol wasn't that evident, because I guess it's a 21%.
Yeah. It's not that evident until you have like a shot glass full and then you can't walk.
Oh, no.
Adam and I did we were around the country doing events.
Uh-huh.
And we did. Do you have any pictures from that to throw up there? No. Gary, what's up? You're trying. It looks like you're going to say something.
No.
Do you have any pictures from any of the New England tour or anything you can throw up on the screen here?
Find something.
We were in Newport, Rhode Island, and they were pouring. They poured mangria in like beer glasses, you know, like the red cups. People were so wasted. It was uncomfortable.
That is uncomfortable.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah.
Like we had an audience of a couple thousand. Well, it was probably 800 or 900 people at a time.
And it's delicious, so I can imagine that you're going to want to drink it all.
Oh, and we make an effort to sign autographs and take pictures and stuff afterwards, and they're all just... Bleh.
Oh, way to go, Adam.
it's so ridiculous. They can serve it in a shot glass or less.
But that's the problem, is because it you don't want to just take a shot of it because it tastes good. So you want to sip on it. It tastes like sangria.
Right, it's mangria.
So, mangria.
Okay, so we're back to sex becoming... unexciting.
Yeah. And for women, I think this is something that all women deal with. We do. I mean, not to say that in the beginning it's always fresh and fun, but as the relationship grows and gets longer and longer in years, I think for me, because once you're in it, it's fun. I think it's just taking the time to schedule it in. And I know that sounds terrible,
it doesn't sound terrible. You keep saying that.
Because it does.
Does that somehow take the fun away for you?
Or? I think for me, when you look at it in comparison to in the beginning of a relationship, it's always spontaneous, if that makes sense. Yeah. So it's spontaneous and fun, and you can't keep your hands off each other. And then as time goes on, in my mind, to say that you have to schedule it in, and
I would never spoil it.
I would never say that to my husband. I would have
Why?
It mentally.
He doesn't care. just as long as it gets scheduled.
I know. That's true. It just doesn't seem as romantic and fun to me when I have it saying it's
so
scheduled in.
You also need, this is another piece, you want little tidbits as I think of them. Mm-hmm. When you say romantic, males hear Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. We have no idea what you're talking about. So you have to like, and I think some women have different ideas about that too. I think you have to really kind of be clear about what you're talking
about.
You're
right. About. That's why, you're absolutely right about that. Because for me, romance means, for instance, I thought romance meant one thing. And then I read the Christian Grey series, and I know people will laugh at this as well. But even though that was very sexually deviant behavior, he's very romantic as that as well. So
why? In what way?
You did read the book, didn't you?
Yes, I read them, and I want every minute back. I want every minute back I spent reading that piece of shit.
I read the first one.
No, I read more than that because
I
had people saying that bullshit to me, too.
Okay, yeah. The first one
is
like,
I really want my life back.
Okay, the first one is like, I'll tell you what. Women, okay, it's no coincidence that how many copies did this woman sell? It was way more than all the Harry Potter books combined. So that just goes to show how many women gravitated towards this three-part
this
novel series.
Child abuse.
No.
Boundaryless.
But there's something romantic about the way that he cares for her, even though that they have this consensual, deviant sexual relationship.
Okay.
He still is very romantic about it.
Sex slave contract. He was sexually abused by his now business partner.
I understand.
It's
yes.
So fucked up.
It's trust so, me.
Such spoiler a sociopath. Alert. Oh my God.
You guys, but
fools, this, a sociopath but he, and a criminal.
But he loved Anastasia. The way he like loved her and wanted to like make sure she ate. And it's something that girls, believe me, women always want to feel taken care of. To some degree, even I'm a very independent woman. I like to do things on my own. But at the end of the day, it's really hot when a guy doesn't ask you to do something, but almost tells you to do something, if that makes sense.
No.
No?
So you have to be very clear about it.
Okay.
Gentlemen, you understand what the fuck she's talking about?
Huh?
Yeah,
I
exactly.
guarantee you, if you tell your
girl. I think they know that as it pertains to dating, in the sense that they know to say, I'm going to pick you up at 7:30. Here's where we're going to go, and this is what we're going to do, and I have a special place, and you're going to love it.
That's so hot.
See you at 7:30.
But I would never think to tell you to eat breakfast.
But then he wouldn't go.
Eat that bagel.
And by the way.
it's to an extreme.
Here's what's
absolutely.
So fickle and screwy about women is that when you're married for a long time, and what if your husband's going, did you want any coffee? Are you okay? Did you want some bagels? That's going to be nagging. It's going to be seem weird, clingy, weird, intrusive.
But I don't think men do that. I think if anything, women are the one that nag, and we're the ones that saying, "Hey, did you?"
Yeah,
drink?
Yes, you tend to be. But men can do it. It's just you guys say you want it and then you don't.
That's funny.
What's really problematic.
I don't know about that because I think I would be okay if my husband was like, "Oh, let me make you your. I'm going to make you your coffee." I'd be like, "All right,
I'm going to make you your coffee is good." But did you finish?
And
are you okay?
Drink
do,
that
do you want,
coffee.
Do you need any more? I'm fine. Whenever you have to say I'm fine, it's a problem.
Well, so then there needs to be a balance. But yes. I think the point is, and what women take from the Christian Grey series is that, I'm sorry, there's definitely some romance and sex appeal with the way that he orders Anastasia do stuff.
Okay, and I think what also they respond to is the guy's got unlimited resources. So sorry, ladies, we don't all have a helicopter. We can't all send a Mercedes to go pick you up.
Right.
We can't.
That's the fantasy, of course.
I think that's more than anything.
No, it's not, because it could be some, you know, biker dude, you know, and of course I'm saying biker dude because Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy was supposed to play Christian Grey, and I'm so disappointed that he's not. But it could be just some biker dude that has that same sense of he's so lustful and in love with Anastasia, and that it's shown in that novel. And I think that's in the
well.
In
you
the
better
books.
You better start coaching.
And I say
your
novel
husband.
Loosely, though. I yes, do believe
that,
me.
I know it's not
literature.
It's not
by
a literary
any means.
No.
But it was very entertaining to read. I was glued on that plane. Glued.
I want every second back I spent with that book. But okay. Now, I've also learned that it has something to do with sort of paying attention as much as anything. Like face-to-face time, listening is romantic in a quiet environment.
Yes.
Meal, often good idea. And men, if you were to explain to 90% of men that that's romantic, they would go, what?
Right.
Really?
Well, I
okay,
think
I can do that.
Listening in general is so sexy. Here's one example. I feel like not only my husband, who works on it, just like I have many things that I need to work on, too. I feel like when I vent to him, he wants to fix the problem.
Of course,
instead of just listening. If he just listened and gave me a hug afterwards,
Sam,
it would be so sexy.
Here's our position is, hang on a second. Okay. Their position is, why are we talking about this if we're not going to do something about it? Why talk about it? I don't worry about it. Just let's fix it. I can take care of
but
that.
But that bothers us. We just want you to say it's going to be okay.
You again have to tell, man. We don't. It's so alien to us. You've got to go, I need you right now just to sit and listen. And then we're capable of
right.
it. But you have to tell us that it's time to listen.
Yeah.
Please don't try to fix this. Just listen.
But sometimes old habits are hard to break because I'll say that and then he'll improve upon it. But then months may go by and then again I'm venting.
Spontaneously he'll try to fix.
Yes.
Know, if he doesn't hear the first.
I just want
to
be told it's
fix.
Okay. And I think I can speak for all women
now,
out there.
Here's what men need to hone. Gary, Chris, listen to this, Chris.
Yeah.
Listen.
I'm with you.
Yes. Here you go. No, here's what you got to hone. She is a bitch. You're right. She is such a bitch. Oh, how do you put up
okay,
with that?
Honey, and it's going to be okay, honey.
It's
going to be okay.
She will get hers in the end.
Yeah.
Good?
Amazing.
Is that right? Is that does lot?
That's amazing. So. See, just like guys have to schedule things into their brain, okay? Because I want this to be an even playing field. Women, fine. Let's schedule sex more frequently for our guys. Guys, can you schedule into your brain to just to say it's going to be okay? And also, when we clean the house, just walk in the door and acknowledge it. Just acknowledge
that's a good
it.
One.
Just walk right in and say, wow,
place
even if you have
great.
To put a little alarm on your phone.
Well, now, hang on, though. Hang on. Because we can step in a pile of shit doing that, too. Is there a way to acknowledge it that's good? Because sometimes we would come in and go, wow, that must have taken a lot of work. And that may not be the right thing.
I think just as long as it's acknowledged and then maybe you get a little hug. Like, wow, honey, the house looks really great. And then a little hug. That's all I need.
Yeah, but now let's just think about his perspective. A little hug is going to lead to something.
So,
exactly.
So okay. You know, just prepare. Just,
okay.
Guys, you know, trains leave the station.
Especially because she's domesticated at that point, which is sexy, I think. You know, when a woman cooks and cleans,
either
I think
way.
That's also sexy.
Either way, guys are fine.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't matter,
blank,
right? Gosh, we really are. Women really are from Venus and men really are from Mars, and I'm learning that.
What's sexy is whatever they see in you, and that's why they're with you.
Yeah.
Okay, and they just want more of that.
The fact that breakfast got made isn't
that's
changing
nice.
The fact.
That's
great.
Not, that's
I mean,
not a
thank
sexual
you,
thing.
But
yeah.
I'm sexually attracted to you as it is.
Right,
yeah.
That's just is. They're happy. Here's what they're happy with, that you're there.
Right.
That's all they need. They need you to be there.
But you have to put in work. You have to put in work.
Nah.
What do you mean?
Part, well, the relationship you do, but
right.
not the sexual part.
Oh,
but
interesting.
They're two separate
so
things for the
So you really
guy.
Just have to be there? That's all you have to be?
Well,
you don't
you
have to spice it up? You don't
no.
have
because he'll put you where he like this spot. I mean, that thing's very quick,
but
right?
But don't you think that...
Right? Am I right?
The
don't
hand,
you,
the hand motion
whatever,
you were just
whatever
doing
that
so
spot
perfect.
Is, they'll have it all
so
arranged.
So women don't feel like that they have to go
no, here's
to,
what they
and
want,
get
though.
Lingerie. They don't have to
no.
do any of that?
But,
you
well,
just
if
show
that,
up?
But if that's
okay.
his... But Sam, if that's his thing,
okay.
he'll let you know.
Okay.
Then that's his thing, and he'll want it every time. That's the thing. He'll want that every time. But the...
Interesting.
But the...
But we overthink
there
it,
is
I
a
feel
piece,
like.
Oh, of course. There's a piece, though, that you do need to know that's harder, more difficult, which is we want you to be into it. We want you to,
right.
to desire
that,
us.
Yes. And
sometimes...
If you're
busy thinking about it, this sucks to schedule this.
Right. That
it's not going to slow them down, but it's not going to be as satisfying.
I've learned that
yeah, good.
Just
good.
By
That's
being
good
aware.
That's a good one.
Yes. So that I've learned. And women, sometimes maybe we have to... You know, give an extra groan just for his ego, okay?
No.
And that's okay, I think.
It's okay, but...
It doesn't mean that you have to be disingenuous about it, but you do have to be aware.
Yeah,
you'd
be aware, but he actually wants you to be... If you're not into it, he doesn't want you to try it. He wants you to
right.
actually be into it.
So. I agree with that, but I do think that women have to be, I think, being vocally...
Yeah, responsive. Being responsive is
good.
Yeah. A piece of it.
Yes, is a piece of it, and it's also a turn-on.
Yeah.
Okay.
But being a turn-on is different than being what they're looking for and being satisfying because they're easy to turn on.
God, this is just so analytical. It's unbelievable.
Guys, it's just a biology for
yeah.
men. And for women, it's deeply tied into a lot of things. That by the way, for men, it goes there.
Right.
But it goes there secondarily. You know?
But with women, I know that if you're in the middle of it and then you get like a really genuine, like, God, I love you so much, that can be like – that can – take the woman from I'm into this to like holy moly I'm into this. So it's almost like we need to be in the moment and feel like that we're being cherished. It doesn't mean that it has to be every time.
Right.
But
cherished is the word. I think that's exactly right. And men want to be appreciated and desired.
Okay. That's great. So that's actually a great lesson. Men appreciated and desired. Women cherished.
Yes. I've heard that before. I've said it before. I've not said it in a long time. But, but that I think is accurate.
And what are some, so like how I had said earlier that, you know, one little trick for women is when you come in that door and just if you know that she cleaned the house all day, to just acknowledge it, even if it's not something that's inherent to you,
right.
What would be something for women that we almost just have to be aware of? Or guys just so simple that, like when you come home
from...
If we're
so simple, it's disappointing.
But what about when you come home from a long day of work? Would you want us to come up and be like, rub your shoulders and be like, how was your day? Or does that not even matter?
Not the how was your day. Physical touch is good, but generally sort of leaving alone is sort of the right? Am I right? Sort of like they need to rest and be quiet.
Yeah.
So maybe less talking.
Yeah. So you guys need to talk more. We need to talk less. Okay. That's where some of the conflict comes in.
Interesting.
And but not to say that he can't muster it if he knows it's important to you.
Right.
Just know that his priority is quiet.
At the end of the day, what do men feel like is missing from a relationship that women can work on?
You guys have any sense of that? Young males?
Like,
here,
God, I wish I had more of this in my relationship. Sex.
Yeah, that's usually what men are thinking.
I'm with Drew. I think the consistency is pretty important. But I mean, if you want to call an audible, and throw another one, like we'll roll. We're game.
Yeah, they're game if we know it's important to you. But if we don't know it's important to you, it doesn't occur to us spontaneously.
Okay.
They can have a whole playbook, but they got to know that's important to you.
Yeah, I agree with Drew. I agree with Drew. What I'd like a little bit more of is being told what to do. Like,
yeah,
not
ordered around.
Not like an order, but like
being
just
clear with us.
Like, exactly.
No
like,
games, no around
no
the bush
games.
Where we
exactly.
pout until
it,
I don't do that.
Lay it
no,
out
I know.
For me. Like, this is important to me. This is what I need you to do to accomplish
and you
gotta this.
And you've got to be prepared, though, to keep reminding
and
us because
that's where the frustration lays for me. And I need to remind myself that it takes a while to break old habits. Likewise, for myself as well.
It's not even breaking habits. Our motivation is different. So we're not going to be motivated to keep doing it. You think, like, oh, now.
So don't get resentment if you have to continue to remind
yourself. If you give us instructions once on why to do. On how to do something, then you may assume, well, it's now important to him because I've explained that it's important to me. It's like, no, it's important to me because it's important to you, but I'm not motivated in the same way that you are on a psychological level.
That's like,
I don't care. I mean, I want to, but I don't the way you do yet.
I love this he said, she said talk because there's so much to learn and so much perspective to gain. It's so interesting to me. And at the end of the day, I think if we can have better marriages, relationships, and just be aware of the other person's needs, then we'll be much more happy and satisfied. But it's easier said than done.
Oh, of course. All right, before I go to calls, I want to bring out our last sponsor, which is our friends at Lumosity.com. And I'm all about things that help, and the good news is this seems to help with mental performance. You can sharpen brain by playing the games at Lumosity.com. It is based on the science of neuroplasticity. They offer games designed to improve your brain's performance. As I said, you can customize them, become sharper, more focused, even have better memory. I've been playing the games at Lumosity for a while, and they are fun and quick. Lumosity has 50 million people playing these games right now. It's easy to set up. You can play from anywhere, from your computer, iPhone, iPad. There's a Lumosity app, which reminds you when to do your exercises. And again, you can customize these to your specific goals. Don't forget your brain. It's important to keep in shape, as important as your body, for sure. Go to Lumosity.com, click the Start Training button, then start playing your first game. That is Lumosity.com. And then tell them you heard it from me, Dr. Drew. Let's go to some calls very quickly here. This is Lucas. What's up, Lucas?
Hey, Dr. Drew.
Hey, now.
Huge fan. So I guess, first of all, I think Gary hit it on the head earlier with his being told what to do thing.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But my question for you is, I guess, so I'm a medical student, and I wanted to know if you could go back and, or if you could change one thing about the way you were trained or medical education even today, what would you do?
I think what I would do differently as opposed to what needs to change are two different questions. Obviously, I wish there was a lot more addiction and psych stuff. I wouldn't get more of that because I eventually did get plenty of it by working in a psychiatric hospital. The biggest problem we had really in terms of the structure of our training, we didn't have enough supervision when I was in training. It was like a MASH unit. We'd have residents going, do this, do go here, go here. I'm going to operation. I'll see you in 5 hours. And he'd be describing for me, literally yelling for me to do things across the room that I didn't know the words. I'd have to go to the nurses and go, what's he wanting me to do? And they'd
That's
be these, and they'd be these procedures, really like procedures
That's
on
scary.
People that I'd never seen done before. And the nurses would sort of talk me through it. And once you've done that once, then you just do them.
Wow. Here you go. Good luck.
Yeah, yeah. It was crazy. I don't like the idea that the hours are being restricted as much as they are. I felt that was a very important part of my training. The ability to prioritize patient care, no matter how tired, no matter how sick, no matter how miserable you are, is a very important experience. So that bothers me that the residency hours and the medical student hours are becoming more rational. I think it's okay. I understand why it is, but it's troubling to me. What do you think? What is your sense of it, Lucas?
Well, I'm still in my class. I'm still a second year, so I haven't really hit the wards yet. But I actually went to pharmacy school before medical school. Mm-hmm. So I have a little bit of a background. I never practiced. I jumped from one right to the other. But I have a little bit of a background in it. And so I feel like there's definitely some things that are kind of presented as what's taught in the classroom, but it doesn't translate really well to reality. And I think that confuses a lot of people.
Well,
that
that all gets straightened out in the wards. Believe me, there's a giant distance between the basic framework you're being taught and then the application. It's quite a distance. So it's sort of a framework that you have that you carry with you, and then the application becomes a more sophisticated, holistic approach, I would say. I was bothered by the fact that the medical school first year particularly was not science. It was absolutely not a science training. It was sort of almost a language class. It was certainly
really?
There was anatomy and microbiology, but I actually took my biology problem set, my biochemistry problem sets, to my biochemistry professor in medical school, and I said, you know, we're just learning pathways. Who gives a shit? I mean, I just you know, it's just like that's not science.
Right.
Here were my problem sets from college, where I was following hydrogen items, you know, the energetics of following a hydrogen atom through a Krebs cycle. You know, what are the forces? What's the mathematics? And she looked at me. She goes, well, these are graduate level problems. And I said, well, I'm in graduate school now.
Yeah.
I'd like to be doing graduate
right.
level problems. And she goes, oh, there'd be a mutiny. You would never be able to do this in medical school. And I thought, wow, that's interesting. So
wow.
If kids didn't get a good science training in college, they're not getting it in medical school.
That's crazy.
So that bothered me.
Right.
Do you see that too, Lucas?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I came from a big, large state school where nobody really cared about you, and you just had to, you know, teach yourself and learn.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I see a lot of kids coming in who are coming from, like, smaller private schools
yep.
who I feel like were coddled, and they, yeah, there's a mutiny half the time. Like, people just flip out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there
know.
Will be you how you handle yourself on your feet will be the difference when you're out on the wards. Ability to think, teach yourself, grab at things, go for things. If you're motivated and you say yes to stuff, you can do anything. You'll be doing surgery in your third year. There's just unlimited need for manpower and smart kids in there, you know, helping out, and you'll just do more and more and more. So that will serve you later very well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome.
All right, Lucas. Good question. I've never had that one before. And finally, this is Anne, 26. Anne, what's up?
Hi, I don't think this is relevant to what
it's
you
right.
guys are talking about.
It's all right. It's okay. We're taking questions on whatever. Go ahead. We've had our thing here with Sam. Go ahead.
So, like 7 years ago, I had a severe manic episode.
Mm.
And yeah, very severe. And they prescribed me Seroquel and lithium, which I'm still taking. And Seroquel has made me gain weight through the years.
Yeah, I figured you were going to say that. Seroquel does increase your appetite for sure. But Seroquel may not be all that necessary. I mean, the lithium may be the more important thing. Do you have a lot of agitation and anxiety?
Yes.
Yeah. So
the thing was is that the reason they, you know, because when you're in a psych ward, they like, you know, kind of you're kind of a guinea pig. And now it's causing like more issues, like the weight gain.
Okay, so why don't you talk to your physician about changing?
I have.
And?
I've tried so many medications, and they do the adverse reaction.
So you've been on everything else under the sun, and this is the best pharmacotherapy for you who have a life-threatening mental illness.
Correct.
Okay.
And here's the thing, is that when they prescribed it to me, I didn't think that they were prescribing it for sleep, but it helped with the sleep.
Yeah, it does.
So, long story short, you know, being, you know, if you're bipolar, they say I'm in remission, and I have been in remission. I guess that's what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I use it for sleep. So it's kind of, now I'm kind of like, what do I use for sleep?
Trazodone?
Doesn't work. It's not enough. I'm like, I've taken, or my, you know how it.
Some would argue that Seroquel shouldn't be used for sleep, by the way. It's really not. You know,
yeah.
Well,
if I use it for sleep and nothing else, like, will work besides that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of frustrating because now my doctor's trying to say, my physician, not my psychiatrist, my physician is saying, you know, hey, you know, we think you're diabetic.
Oh, and, see, I was going to say, have you worked with a dietitian? Have you gotten help on that front? Have you thought about bariatric surgery? Have you done aggressive things on that side?
I haven't. The thing is that I had a child and then suffered postpartum, and then they're like, well, you know, maybe you should get your thyroid checked. That's kind of normal for, you know, women after pregnancy to have
thyroid.
Well,
lithium causes thyroid stuff too. But
yeah, so they checked that to make sure that the lithium wasn't causing it, and it was a chronic issue.
Mm-hmm.
And the thyroid is a chronic issue.
Okay.
So,
but that's easily taken care of. That's not a big deal.
Yeah.
All right, so here's the deal. Unfortunately, Anna, and you can call back next time we do this, but I'm out of time for this particular show. You're doing what you can. I mean, you're being very sophisticated about this. I would say I would go get more sophisticated. I would say get a sleep study, have a formal sleep evaluation, see if there are some suggestions from the sleep professionals. I would get a dietitian. I'd get a dietitian involved, and I'd even get a trainer, and I would talk to a bariatric surgeon, because it sounds like this may be something you're stuck with, and it sounds like, you know, skilled people or care about you and trying to prevent, you know, a life-threatening problem from recurring. It's a very, very serious question, and you're taking it seriously. I understand you're doing it as such, but there's, you know, several other areas to start to reach out. Hopefully your insurance will cover it. God knows these days, with the way things are, it's going to get worse and worse. But sleep, dietitian, trainer, bariatric surgery, tick those things out. Sam, we got to say goodbye.
Oh my gosh, it was so much fun.
Yeah, good. We solved all the problems of men and women. Marriages will last much longer now.
I'm right, yeah. Samantha Great perspective Shocker. Today.
I know. SCHACHER, SamanthaShocker.com. You can see her at the Pop Trigger. What's the.
YouTube. / Pop Trigger. And then, of course, on Dr. Drew HLN at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Turks Network and Sam's Twitter handle. Go follow her at Sam Shocker. And that about does it for this episode of Dr. Podcast. There are those groovy tunes again.
Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. We'll see you next time.
For call-in times and topics, follow the show on Twitter at Dr. Drew Podcast. That's D-R-D-R-E-W Podcast. The music from today's episode can be found on the Swingin' Sounds of the Dr. Drew Podcast, now available on iTunes. And while you're there, don't forget to rate the show. The Dr. Drew Podcast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana and Gary Smith. For more information, go to drdrew.com. Corolla Digital.